AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is brought to you by Simplot Grower Solutions. We're in your fields and by your side. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. Green on the screen for the grain markets, livestock markets as well. There was some wild price action in the soy complex that we'll let the goddess of grain explain. And we'll take a look at how grain has moved, is moving, and might move between now and the 2021 growing season.
Live from the middle of the pouring rain, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we welcome Angie Setzer of Citizens Grain L to the LC. And right after the news, market perspective from Varsity Joe Vaklovic of Standard Grain. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, man, lots of rain out there, and it's still raining in those areas that were really dry out in the Western Corn Belt. So some impressive totals down in South Central Kansas. I believe there's inch and a half, inch and three quarter totals there. In eastern Nebraska, they're pushing an inch and a quarter in some locations. So this is a good one. This is a much needed one. If the National Weather Service forecast is right, and we do warm up and we do turn a bit drier than normal into the last week of March, this is that rain that's going to set us up for some really good planting conditions, I think, when we get into the first 10 days of April or so.
This is the one? This is it?
This is the one.
This is the one?
Yeah, this is it.
Okay.
It might also bring some morels around.
Oh, now you're talking.
I just had that thought. I love that idea.
Now that's something to be excited about.
You bet. Angie Setzer, at Goddess of Grain on Twitter is our guest today. Really looking forward to the conversation. One of the reasons that I wanted to get Angie on is because I wonder how growers in general have taken advantage of the rally that has happened since last summer. Are they still moving grain? What are the plans for grain movement between now and summer? Is there much grain left to move? What are we going to see in that quarterly grain stocks report next week? There's all kinds of things that we can talk about related to this grain movement. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. And then marketing in a bull market. I want to get Angie's take on what we should be thinking about when it comes to marketing in a bull market. Okay?
You might say we're performing an angiogram on the markets today, perhaps. Something along those lines?
Well, you could say it. I don't know.
I think I will.
I think you did.
I bet she uses that.
You bet. All right, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Chip, spillover support from Strength in the Soy Complex triggered a round of profit-taking and short-covering in the wheat market. Double-digit gains in soft red wheat were trimmed, but July soft red still posted an upside reversal, signaling a potential end to the persistent selling in wheat futures this month. Much improved soil moisture conditions in hard red winter wheat areas were the source of selling interest that pushed prices down from session highs. Winter wheat conditions in Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas are improving as the crop greens up. July hard red winter wheat, 4 cents higher, 5.88 and one quarter. July soft red, up 7 cents, 6.26 and one quarter. September spring wheat, 3¾ cents higher, 6.45 and one half, Chip.
Yeah, one of the reasons that the selling has been so persistent in this wheat market is the Russian wheat price has been coming down this month. I'm very impressed that with the rain and lower European prices that we could push the wheat market higher today.
May corn futures posted an inside day with a mid-range close, suggesting more sideways price action leading up to the prospective plantings and quarterly grain stocks reports at the end of this month. Rains across some of the driest areas of the Western Corn Belt is also limiting buying interest, with prices at the top end of the 30-cent month-long sideways trading range. With this year's corn export loadings already about 600 million bu ahead of last year's pace, Traders are looking for USDA to increase its export estimate in the April supply and demand report, which, Chip, in turn, would ratchet down ending stocks. Right. May corn futures 2 1/4 cents higher, 551 1/4. July gained 2 3/4 cents to close at 534 1/4. Dece corn, 469 at the close, and 3/4 actually, up 1 3/4 cents on the day.
Very good. Very good. You know what? Let's go ahead and bring Joe Vaklavic in. Joe Vaklavic with Standard Grain. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good, good. What happened to the volume in the corn market? Hasn't it just kind of dried up and gone away?
Volume has been down a little bit. I would imagine it's because the trade has just been largely sideways. We've been trendless for several weeks now. In both the old crop contracts and the new crop contracts, we just need some sort of catalyst for a move in either direction. And whether that comes from the report next week or from weather or from the April WASDE report, I really don't know. But we need something to influence the next big move, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point about this sideways trade. And it's just sucking the volatility out is what it feels like. What did you make of the spread action in the product in the product markets in the soy complex?
I'm not in front of my screen right now. I don't even know what happened today.
Okay, I'm sorry. We had soybean oil was sharply higher, backed off. Soybean meal was sharply higher, it backed off. But, I mean, back month soybean oil was actually under some pressure today. Just getting some spread unwinding?
Funny, I actually had a call today. It was like kind of one of these emergency calls from somebody who's not in the commodity business. And long story short, he works for a company that has to source soybean oil every year. And The commercials have basically told them, you can't get the stuff. Not now. It's not going to be until the fall. So there's some real issues out there right now in regard to shortages with the soybean complex. I mean, it's really, really tight.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's something that we're going to be paying close attention to. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, we'll see you, bud.
All right. Well, let's get into what happened in the bean trade there, Davis.
Well, Chip, old crop bean futures pushed solidly higher this morning, but backed off to close just slightly higher and just above the opening range. The three-day winning streak in May bean futures saw the front-month contracts trade as much as 45 cents above Friday's low earlier this morning. That's helping to rebuild upside momentum. Chart watchers are looking for resistance at the March 10 high of 14.45 3/4. Soybean prices reached today's peak when both bean meal and bean oil futures were trading solidly higher. Liquidation of long oil, short meal spreads, and afternoon trade pulled bean prices off the highs. May bean futures 5 3/4 cents higher, 14.23 1/4. July gained 7 1/4 to close at 14.11 1/4. November bean futures 12.23 1/2 at the close, up 7 1/2 cents.
Yeah, boy, with that shortage that Joe was just talking about, we need to keep We'll talk to Angie about just how many beans might be left out there.
May cotton 109 points lower, 83.53. December cotton slipped 88 ticks, 81.32. Livestock's front month cattle futures posted an inside trading day with a high range close and once again traded on both sides of 119. April live cattle 35 cents higher, 119.12 1/2. June up 112 1/2, 120.05. April feeders 32 1/2 cents higher, 139.75. And on the snout side, front month lean hog futures gapped higher, fell back to fill the gap, then trampolined to a new contract high and contract high close. April lean hogs 142 1/2 higher, 96.47 1/2. And June hogs pranced, $1.77 1/2 higher, 101.25.
I was going to ask if you guys had a celebration last week when we got the close above 100 bucks in the June and July hogs.
Inside, I was celebrating, yes, but I didn't want to make a stink of it. You know,
oh, that's inside fantastic. We've got Angie Setzer, Citizens Grain, coming up next on AgriTalk.
American-based and family-run, Simplot Grower Solutions knows what it takes to keep a farm and your way of life productive and thriving. It takes field-proven insights backed by trusted technologies and products that help you get the most out of every acre. It takes a local ag expert you can grow with, a down-to-earth partner focused on your success. Head to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com and take the next step with us. Simplot Grower Solutions, in your fields, by your side.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
All right, welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Got Davis. Let's jump right to it.
We celebrated our seventh anniversary. Before we do, I just want to affirm acknowledge that our guest today was there right at the beginning, right at the jump.
Our guest was there before the beginning.
Yes. Yes.
Remember?
She was one of those weirdos that was like, "You guys can do this. I think you can do this." And we're like, maybe she's right.
Bring her
I don't
on
know.
Here.
Maybe.
Not only that, but Angie, more than 7 years ago, was willing to do like two or three practice sessions with a couple of goofballs putting this thing together. Yep. Crazy. How you doing, Angie?
I'm good. I was actually thinking about that this morning. I was like, maybe they're doing it to celebrate the anniversary because it pretty much was this time 7 years ago, right? Things were really getting rolling. So you're still in my phone as Market Rally Radio, though, and I will never change that. So we'll always have MRR Chip.
I love that. So should we reveal a little secret about that as well? The news file that Davis and I share each day is Market Rally News.
Yeah, is still titled Market Rally News. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll always have that memories, right?
Yep. Yep. That's hey, Angie, your audio is a little sketchy for us right now.
Is
Are you on speakerphone?
Today? No, I'm not. That's weird.
Okay.
I just got a new phone. I upgraded and everything, but I'm trying not
That's how
to,
they get you.
I know, and that's, I'm trying not to place it to my face because then I end up muting it with my giant cheeks. So is that any better now that I've brought it closer to my mouth to
It is better.
Establish? Okay, good. I was holding it far away, trying so if I disappear at any point, just say, Angie, you muted yourself with your cheeks again, and I will unmute me, and I will be back. So I have good service.
I think you found the sweet spot.
Yeah,
perfect.
That's what I just always have to be careful, because I did that this morning, and someone hung up. They're like, you were gone. I was like, no, I'm there. I was just fumbling, and I was eating a snack at the time, and it was just, I'm awkward, okay? Like, I am an awkward human being, so thanks for having me back.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Glad you're here. Jeez, you heard what Joe said about somebody that usually isn't playing in the commodity markets, called him up, said, listen, I've got to have some bean oil. And my supplier is saying, good luck. Good grief.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, we were actually just talking about that. My assistant's boyfriend, he is in food production, and they had managed to almost run out of soy oil. Now, he was able to get it, but he had a heart attack on how much it cost to replace it. And so it turned out that someone in the business that was responsible for procuring it thought it might get cheaper, which I was like, LOL, been there, done that, got a t-shirt, you know, and so they ended up, you know, they got it, they were able to get it, but it's definitely interesting. Like, you look back at soy oil and, you know, the old adage is never trust an oil-led rally, right? I have always heard that, you know, I don't know what it means at all, but I repeat it because it sounds smart. And, you know, when it comes down to it, though, oil really didn't kind of catch a bid until about December, because the start of this rally was the idea that we were going to crush soybeans for meal because we had all of these mouths to feed and we were going to export and we had all of these things, and oil was just going to be this byproduct of crushing soybeans. And now suddenly, you know, with what's going on with the Biden administration and the idea that you're seeing renewable fuels there and some of the questions over, you know, human rights activities when it comes to palm oil in certain parts of the world. And then, you know, of course, you know, the imported beans, you can't get those RINs floating back to biodiesel. And then people, you know, need to eat. And a lot of what we really like to eat is cooked and stuff in oil in general. Yep. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we've kind of went from, oh, oil's just there to oil's leading the charge. And yeah. So we're trading at what, the highest level since 2012. You know, I don't know, you know, overall what it looks like from a supply and demand standpoint, because to be completely honest, I haven't spent much time studying oil. Maybe that's a fault of my own, but oil always is just kind of there. Yeah. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens, because the Dalian oil futures are what really started this, just like with all of the other commodities. It was just almost like it was the one that no one, you know, had paid attention to. It was the Jan Brady of the soy complex, and now all of a sudden it's Marsha. Yeah.
Yes, yes it is. And not the broken nose Marsha.
No, the hot homecoming queen Marsha.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
So,
you know, it when you look at that chart, I can't help but wonder if I won't say that the fundamentals were ignored, because you did a fantastic job laying out some of the trigger points on this rally. But I wonder if the simple fact that the spread, the oil meal spread was moving so hard, we had some speculative money coming into it. The momentum got behind this oil market. And now you look at the daily chart, and it is literally bottom left to top right.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wonder if the fund money didn't get heavily involved in this market, too.
Oh, I think that's definitely a component. I think oil was one of the markets that hadn't rallied over 50% in the last several months or whatever. I mean, if you look at a long-term chart, oil was just kind of sitting where it's always sat. No one was paying attention to it. You know, lumber had obviously rallied strongly. Corn, soybeans, wheat, you know, copper, you know, all of your metals, everything was just flying off the shelves, so to speak, from a commodity standpoint. And like I said, oil was just kind of sitting there. And so I think the funds have gotten into it, and now you're at a point where, you know, remember when the soybean market broke above, what, $12, I think, the first time, and everyone's like, all right, well, the air is pretty thin up here. So if it's going to go, it's going to go. And then it was like you went to sleep, you know, on New Year's or whatever, and then we were $14.50. You know what I mean? Right. And that's where soy oil's at right now. I'm a backyard technical analysis type person, meaning I just barely know what a support and resistance level is most of the time. But it's pretty easy to see that resistance, you know, in the soy oil chart, especially in the front end, you know, isn't much there. I mean, we're at the highest level we've been at since 2012. And basically, you know, another few cents here, and we're working towards the 2007-2008 target. And so I think until we can really kind of put a lid on this thing and prove that these buyers aren't necessarily going to make a lot of money. And that's the problem that we're having with all of these markets right now is everyone has this idea that everything's going to be like GameStop, you know, anymore. So these outside investors come in, and they want this proof of return on their investment within a week or so. And for a while, commodities were giving you that. You know what I mean? And now, suddenly, corn, $5.60 is a struggle. Beans, $14.35 is a struggle. Wheat, $6.70 or so is a struggle. And so you can only do that so many times before people are like, cool, whatever. Just wake me up when we're down another 50 cents and I can get on the low end of the range. And that's why you see the buyers come flooding back in, but we're going to be range-bound until there's a different reason for it. Soy oil is the only thing right now that really hasn't established a new range, and so that's really what it feels like it's doing, and that's part of the reason the back-end spreads kind of fell off, is that the buying interest is heavily up front. You know, and as a result, I think you are going to see some occurrences in the pipeline where someone is told, good luck, you're not going to get your hands on this for several months. You know, and suddenly we'll have available supply. Price is going to encourage that we figure out how to get it. You know, and so maybe you do separate, you know, obviously imported beans. And I don't know. I don't run a crush plant, but imported beans don't qualify for the RINs that come from producing soy oil for biodiesel. Exactly. But do you see where we get to where certain crush plants are looking at the biodiesel demand and others are looking at the food product demand? Because someone's going to make sure that they pay as much as possible to get the oil they need to produce the food products that they need to be making. You know, and so there's going to be money in both eventually. And the beauty thing about commodities that I love more than anything is high prices encourage supply and reduce demand enough to get us back into an equilibrium eventually and cure those high prices. And so you just got to let the market work.
Yeah. Great perspective. Got to let the market work. We're seeing it happen in soybeans. We're seeing it happen in corn. Those resistance levels, I would say that I'm more than a backyard technical analyst. I actually spent a little time studying it. And those resistance levels that you're talking about, they're reflecting that attitude that, hey, we need that next trigger. So, Angie, when we come back, you know what the question is. What's the next trigger? Are we going to get it in the quarterly grain stocks report? Is there the potential for it in the prospective plantings report? Do we have to wait for the supply and demand report in April? Where does that next trigger come from? So that's what we're going to get into next. We're talking with Angie Setzer, Citizens Grain, LLC up in Charlotte, Michigan. The other thing that we've got to talk about, Angie, so get your notes together on this. How do you manage risk in this market? How do you get away from you know, sitting and thinking, geez, we're at 1440, but by golly, I'd sure like to make a $15 sale. You got to get past that. We'll talk about how to do it with Angie next. No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag. It's time for Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Cordonier maintains Brazilian crop pegs. South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier maintained his Brazilian soybean crop estimate of 132 million metric ton, Brazilian corn crop estimate of 105 million metric ton. Safrina corn planting is still lagging. Planting of Brazil's Safrina corn crop reached 86.2% complete across the center-south region. That's still 10 percentage points behind the historical average. Rains are stabilizing the Argentine crops. Winter wheat ratings improve after recent moisture. Russia considers extending retail price cuts on sugar and sunflower oil to temper inflation. White House is preparing a sweeping Build Back Better package, and the White House staffs up on climate. Check out tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bayer Plus Rewards, helping make every part of your season more rewarding.
Stressed down a running lane, racing down the interstate, spilled hot coffee down the front of my jeans.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Davis. With me, we are talking with Angie Setzer from Citizens Grain today. Before we get back to Angie, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat 4 cents higher today, 5.88 1/4. July soft red up 7 cents, 5.26 1/4. May corn futures 2 1/4 cents higher, 5.51 1/4. December corn closed at 4.69 3/4, up 1 3/4 cents. May soybean futures 5 3/4 cents higher, 14.23 1/4. Novi beans closed at 12.23 1/2, up 7 1/2 cents. May cotton 109 points lower, 83.53. April live cattle 35 cents higher, 119.12 1/2. April feeders 32 1/2 cents higher, 139.75. April lean hogs 142 1/2 higher on the day, 96.47 1/2. And Chip, it just doesn't make any sense. He's doing tricks on his bike. He's got Sundance's girl looking on from the haymow window. And BJ Thomas is singing, "Raindrops keep falling on my head."
Even though
there's not a cloud
shining
in the sky,
right? I hear
you. What is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what brought. Oh, the fact that it's raining here, is that what brought that up?
Well, yeah, I was thinking, well, that'd make a great song for bump music today. And then I thought, wait a second.
Let's get Angie in here because I want to know what the weather's like over there.
Oh, right now it is sunny and 65 with a little bit of wind. Not Iowa wind, though, Michigan wind. So it's blowing like 10 miles an hour. And it's like, real windy out there. And I'm like, LOL. I lived in Iowa for a period of time. That's just called a Tuesday.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. No, it is cold and rainy here. It's like 45 degrees, and it's been raining all day. And
but I'll take the rain.
You absolutely will take that rain. But here's the deal. My so thoughtful wife, okay?
Yes.
She, this morning before she took off for work, one of her specialties is making chicken and dumplings.
Ooh.
And it's in the crock pot upstairs, and the smell has made it to the bunker, Angie. I might
that's a
have
work
to,
from home peril. It's a, yeah, that's a peril.
I might have to bolt.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Have a dumpling for me. I that sounds good.
Can you and Davis finish up? I'm gonna go eat.
I think we can handle this. Angie?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Butch and Sundance? Where was Sundance? How did he not know Butch ran off with the bike and the girl? What is he doing?
That I can tell you. I'm now officially speechless. Carl will thank you, and he will now from now on ask me about Butch and Sundance when he wants me to shut up. So what are you going to do with Butch and Sundance? And I'll just sit there with a vacant stare. So
you are welcome, Carl.
We cracked the code. It took us 7 years, but we cracked the code.
He'll say the same thing because it's been about 7 years that he's been listening to this. So pray for him, all of you, at night. Pray for poor Carl.
Yes. Well, we do. Keep him in his our thoughts. Yeah. So with very few beans left to move out there, just how high can prices go?
Well, I mean, I think futures. You know, I'm not going to, it was the last time I was like, oh, I think futures are kind of tired, and we added another 50 cents. So I'm not stupid enough, you know, to sit here and, you know, fool me once, shame on you or whatever, fool me twice, shame on me. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, well, futures are done going up. I will say that even if they were done going up, I think old crop basis is going to support cash prices. And so in a market structure like this, you know, maybe the USDA doesn't come out and make any further adjustments lower to ending stocks. Maybe they just let the cash market figure it out. And so the cash market's job then is going to be to provide a stout enough basis that encourages growers to sell. I mean, the inverse in and of itself is starting to get people to pay attention to what's going on. I have a customer that I talk to on occasion. That, you know, he's sitting on 3 years worth of soybeans. So everyone go ahead and clap or gasp or whatever it is that people do when they hear that, you know, for the first time. And I mean, he's got plenty of beans, but he also is looking at the fact that, you know, he's got a huge amount of risk to carry through that inverse. And he's basically going to have to bet as to whether or not, you know, the market structure is going to help offset that. And so obviously he's looking at starting to liquidate that supply. Now, of course, price is encouraging that. You know what I mean? It's pretty easy right now to say, all right, well, I'm going to sell 1450 cash beans. You know, but yeah, the amount of beans that are out there are limited. You know, the commercials that are holding onto them are doing so, you know, at their own risk in the sense that there is a pretty large, you know, inversion, and it costs a lot of money to hold on to beans. Month in and month out, and to not even have a portion of that covered via any sort of market carry, you know, you're really kind of betting on whether or not basis is going to stay strong. I think it will. I think basis is going to stay exceptionally strong. I think we're going to be running on fumes, you know, as we work our way through the summer, and the market's job is going to be figuring out how to get beans from where they are, which in this case is South America, Brazil specifically, to where they're at, which is the U.S. And so a lot of folks will say from a logistical standpoint, that's impossible. But again, going back to letting the market work, the market will figure out what it has to do in order to, A, get beans out of the hands of those that are still holding on to them, and C, you know, basically get them purchased from somewhere that they are and bringing them into where they are. And so, yeah, it's a logistical headache, but if with enough cash or if they're needed enough, they'll figure out how to provide what they need, or, you know, they'll run on fumes until they absolutely can't run anymore, and they'll pray that, you know, an early start to the planting season or something of that nature provides them with enough supply available, you know, in the last part of August, September, if Mother Nature cooperates in some places, September more than, than August, obviously. But, you know, if Mother Nature cooperates in some places to kind of help get that pipeline back to where it needs to be.
Right, right. Got it. When it comes to marketing, Angie, are producers too focused on price and not focused enough on margin?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the biggest thing that I found in all of this is that we're almost as an industry too focused on guessing what price is going to do. We obviously, you know, reward the best guessers anymore. And you know, there's a lot of folks out there that have made significant margin. And, yeah, they've left a lot of money on the table, and that stinks. I mean, I think about where we were a year ago and the sound of panic in people's voices when you know, the corn market was bottoming out. We had no idea what life in a pandemic was going to be. And so there were a lot of decisions that were made, you know, at that point in time that ended up being emotionally driven because we had operated under the guise of hope throughout the whole first few months of 2020. You know what I mean? We had thought that the USDA was going to recognize that the crop was short in 2019, and we were continuing to anticipate that the price was going to rally, and we were going to, you know, finally have this $5 corn, and it showed up. It just so happened to show up, you know, 11, 12 months later than what we were anticipating. And so I think, you know, trying to guess where price went and not focusing on necessarily what the opportunities in the market structure meant for growers put in a situation where we had a lot of really bad, you know, almost emotionally driven decisions made on our marketing, in the sense of panic, you know, because we had missed out on all of the seasonal rally opportunities. And then we've been beaten up. Obviously, if you were an aggressive marketer last summer, it was the worst thing you could possibly do. And so now we're focusing on, well, I'm not going to do that again. You know, and history tells you that that's great until the price backs off and then you wish you would have. And so one of the biggest things that, you know, I've really been trying to work on with growers and people that I talk to, you know, around the country and other grain buyers and people that are, you know, advising farmers on what to do is really focusing now on what kind of opportunities the market is presenting you and what that means for your bottom line and overall revenue versus focusing on what you think it's going to do. And it's easy, it's fun to try to guess what the market's going to do, you know, but reality is if that's what you're going to do to make money, you might as well just go to the nearest casino and put it on black or red, you know, because there's too many extenuating circumstances at this point in time for anyone to truly have an honest idea as to what's going to happen 6 months from now.
That's right.
And so the question that I always ask my growers, you know, and I'm not saying we're aggressive sellers at all. I mean, marketing in a bull market is taking small increments, smaller than what you have in the past. You know, maybe it's 5,000 bushel at a time. Maybe it's just 5% of whatever production you anticipate to produce. And you scale sell it. You sell it at every 30-cent increment gain in corn and every 50-cent incremental gain, you know, in soybeans, or maybe it's a little bit wider depending on what you want to do. But you stop focusing on where the market's going to head and you start paying attention to where you're at from a revenue safety net and what these types of prices can mean for you and your operation as we move ahead. And if you want to cover yourself and you're afraid that you're going to miss out on the high side, that's what God invented calls for. You know, so you just start to go back to the old block and tackle way of marketing, you know, and you book profit and you cover your upside risk with an option strategy that you pay attention to and you work with someone you trust on, and you don't get cute. You don't have to get cute. I mean, last year we were trying to put lipstick on pigs. You know what I mean? And trying to figure out how to squeeze a nickel out of a turnip, you know, or whatever. And so now it's like, okay, you can sell 525 cash corn. What does that mean for you? You can sell 450 or 425 harvest corn. You know, what does that mean for you? What are your greatest risks right now? Well, your risk is that you're not going to be able to get fertilizer for as cheaply as what you thought you were going to if you haven't ordered it yet. Your risk is that something happens to equipment or a building or something of that nature, so you better be checking with your insurance agent on what your coverage looks like. And your risk is that you lose get all your margin going forward.
Yeah.
So just be smart, I guess, is my... I'll get off my soapbox now because raindrops are falling on everyone's head.
On everyone's head. Angie, I sure enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much.
I love it. You guys have a good one and stay dry and enjoy those chicken and dumplings.
You know I will. You know I will.
Thanks, Angie. Bye.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. You got the bullets. I got the gun. I got a hankering for getting into something. Got Davis with me. And
yes, sir.
We just finished up a conversation with Angie Setzer from Citizens Grain LLC. She went to the concept that the futures market may have done its job, and now it's up to the cash market. We've talked about that so many times, Davis. And she may be right on this. I hadn't gone there yet with this market, but when you combine what Joe talked about at the start with the good luck getting that bean oil, with the tight supplies, maybe we are at that point where the futures market has done everything that it needs to do. Now, leave it up to the cash market to redistribute the remaining soybeans that are out there to the end users that want them the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely a cash market function.
Yes, and if the cash market doesn't lie, well, does that mean then that the futures market doesn't care about the truth? And so... You know, we're all out of jive turkey here, and it's down to brass tacks.
Right, right. And when you get to this point, and you're putting together your plan, Angie asked a really smart question when she said, "What are your greatest risks? Identify those. Write them down. And if you can start to eliminate those risks." With a marketing strategy, then put it in place. Put it in place and get it rolling. I think that's a good way to get things started on your marketing plan. June lean hogs, Davis.
Yes.
Are now today closed $3.75 above yesterday's low.
It's a pretty decent move.
It's a big move now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's very impressive. Very impressive move. Some of this, I thought we would see price pressure this week leading up to Thursday and the quarterly hogs and pigs report that we get on Thursday after the market closes. After the market closes, it's at 2:00. I really figured that because of the way that this market has been trading, you go back to November, and June lean hogs posted a low at about $77. Okay, and here we are at you know, just over $100 now, just over 101 actually. So big move from November to where we're at right now. I anticipated that we would see some profit taking this week on those long positions, and it looked like that's exactly what was going to happen yesterday. All we did is dive down, test support just under $98, and let's see what did you say in the news? Trampolined right off of that support, just under $98, and here we are. Almost $4 above yesterday's low. Crazy. In the quarterly hogs and pigs report that we are getting on Thursday, 2:00, the average trade guess, and this is according to a survey done by Reuters, the average trade guess on all hogs and pigs on March 1, 100.1%. Up very, very slightly from where we were a year ago. The range is fairly tight on this too, Davis. 99%. So down 1% to 101.3% is the range. The average trade guess on the kept for breeding, the breeding herd, 98.7% of year-ago levels. The range is 97.4 up to 100.4. So not much anticipation of a of an increase in the breeding herd. And then, of course, the kept for marketing, 100.2% of year-ago. The range on that is 99.2 to 101.6% of year-ago. Then when we get into the tea leaves, the crystal ball, trying to figure out exactly what is going to be happening down the road in this hog industry, I'm talking about the farrowing intentions. March, May farrowing intentions, 99.2% is the average trade guess. The range is a little wider here, 97.7% to 100.7%. For June, August, the average trade guess is 99.7. The range is 98.2 up to 101.2. So, obviously, with some more uncertainty on what producers will do, the range of guesses is widening out there a bit. But,
it feels a little low.
It feels like a stable supply.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think would not bring price pressure if we've got a basically steady, stable supply of hogs out there with what is going on the demand side of things, with what might happen on the demand side of things with the ASF problems in China.
Yes.
You can't let this market back off much. I just don't think you can. So that comes Thursday. We'll have the details of that report for you on Thursday. Okay. That's one of the big ones, you know. We always talk about what the biggest reports are for these markets, and there's no question that the Hogs and Pigs report is right up there in the top 10. National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day outlook for March 29th through April 2nd. We've got above normal temperatures expected across most of the Corn Belt.
The southern areas
are going to be looking at normal to above normal temperatures, but above normal temperatures in the central and northern production areas. On the precipitation side for March 29 to April 2, we've got below normal precip expected in North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, western Kansas, western Iowa, and most of Minnesota. There's a band of normal precip expected from Wisconsin through eastern Iowa, northwest Missouri, and we've got above normal precip once again expected over in the eastern Corn Belt. But those warm temperatures are coming. It's going to get tractors in the field before we know it. Hey,
good
for
deal.
Davis and for producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thanks for listening today. Tomorrow morning, Representative Rick Crawford and a Farmer Forum with Dwayne from Washington and Kevin from Minnesota, right here on AgriTalk.